This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
This episode is brought to you by Chevy Silverado. When it's time for you to ditch the blacktop and head off-road, do it in a truck that says no to nothing. The Chevy Silverado Trail Boss. Get the rugged capability of its Z71 suspension and 2-inch factory lift. Plus, impressive torque and towing capacity thanks to an available Duramax 3-liter turbo diesel engine. Where other trucks call it quits, you'll just be getting started. Visit Chevy.com to learn more.
It's time to get the show started. Are you ready?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
With the first pick, the Tennessee Titans select Cameron Ward.
Live from the NFL Draft in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Let's go!
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests, Fox Sports college football analyst Joel Klatt, ESPN college football analyst Desmond Howard, WWE superstar Seth Rollins, ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We are live in Green Bay, Wisconsin, the day after the first round of the draft.
Yeah,
it's
buddy.
A draft Friday, and we are here. We are here. You're there. We appreciate you checking us out on the Roku channel, Roku Sports channel, every single day. We've got five wide guests. We've got ourselves coming here to the studio, a Green Bay Packers Super Bowl MVP. There's only four of those.
Bart Starr?
Well, actually, there's three of those. There's Bart Starr, there's Aaron Rodgers, and then there's this guy. Is that supposed to be that's what dead people say sort of humor right there? Bart Starr?
When I think the Packers, I think Bart Starr.
Good to see you, T.J. Jefferson. Well, good to see you, Chris Brockman.
Hey, Rich, what's up, man?
Desmond Howard making his way to our studio right now. Joel Klatt's going to beat him here first. Joel was sitting next to me last night on the NFL Network draft, said he will be there tonight as well. Louis Riddick is stopping by on this program. Same thing with Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football. Kyle Brandt was in one of the helicopters that was part of the flyover yesterday before the NFL draft put the Tennessee Titans on the clock. Kyle will be joining us. He'll join us also for a little bit of What's More Likely, which is quite a venture, as you know, on a draft Friday. Seth Rollins, you might have heard, took down everybody in WrestleMania 41 in Vegas last week. Seth's going to be making his way to our studio here today in Packers country. He's a Bears fan, and I'll tell him all about his new tight end, Colston Loveland, drafted 10th overall last night by the Chicago Bears. Good to see you, Christopher and TJ.
What's up, Rick?
Let's just jump right into it here because there is lots to talk about. Now that we have 32 draft choices that are on the board and none of them being Shedeur Sanders, and that's where we start with the Colorado Buffaloes because we have been talking about it for weeks. And with all due respect to Cam Ward, who I'm sure the Tennessee Titans are very excited about, and Cam being very excited about being a first overall selection in this draft. Not bad for a kid that started his college career at Incarnate Word, making his way to Washington State, and then becomes the first quarterback to be drafted first overall out of the U since Vinny Testaverde.
Vinny.
Wow. Okay, that is what Cam Ward turned into and became a Tennessee Titan last night. And I'm sure he's been dreaming of this moment. And unfortunately for him, in terms of this moment being televised, as Cam Ward was walking to the stage from the green room last night, my producer, the outstanding Mark Titleman, T-Man, who brings you Prime Video Football on Thursday nights. And he does our combine coverage and the draft coverage. He gets in my ear and he goes, the Jacksonville Jaguars are now on the clock. And this is what we call earth-shattering news. The first draft since 2014 to have not one single first-round draft choice traded between the new league year beginning and the draft beginning. We have not seen that in 11 years. That draft started last night, and it took all of about 11 minutes before the first trade hit. And it not only involved a draft choice or multiple draft choice in this draft, it was a first-round pick in next year's draft that Jacksonville traded, along with a package of other picks, to the Cleveland Browns to move up three spots and take the unicorn in this draft. And to that move for Travis Hunter by the Jacksonville Jaguars, I say brilliantly well done. Brilliantly well done to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Well done in every way, shape, and form. Because this kid, we still have no idea what it's going to look like. We still have no idea how great and transformational he is going to be. We can see what he did in Colorado, and we can translate that to the next level. Travis Hunter, 15 receiving touchdowns and four interceptions in 2024 for the Colorado Buffaloes. The last NFL player to have 15 or more receptions on the touchdown fronts as a receiver and four or more interceptions in the same season. The last time what he did in Colorado has been done in the National Football League. A lot of folks around here would know about it. The Hall of Famer Don Hutson did it in 1942. That is the last time we've seen the NFL have a season like the one that Travis Hunter had in Colorado. I know it's a different level, clearly, in the NFL. But I have been saying it over and over again. If you don't believe me and how good this kid can be, I even went so crazy off the reservation yesterday saying that he has an opportunity to be the first ever player in the history of the NFL to win offensive and defensive rookies of the year.
Yeah, that was
bold. Sweep
both.
The entire such night
that was bold.
At the NFL honors next season. But just listen to James Gladstone, the general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars, tell you exactly why he and the Jaguars went ahead and did what they did for their new head coach, Liam Cohen, and for their quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. Hit it.
We're not going to ask him to be any more than him, because by doing so, he elevates not only this football team, not only this city, but the sport itself, right? Along the way, right, you can count however many drafts you want to. There are players who have the capacity to alter a game. There are players who have the capacity to alter the trajectory of a team. There are very few players who have the capacity to alter the trajectory of the sport itself. Travis, while he has a lot to still earn, in our eyes, has the potential to do just that.
James Gladstone, chef's kiss. I mean, what a perfect way to say it.
Yeah.
Because it is the truth, to use a word Dion likes to throw around. This kid can be that transformational, and why not take a swing at it? And when you look at the trade, it really isn't that much. I'm swear to you, it isn't that much. Yes, it's now, well, they gave up the 2 and a 4, and they gave up next year's 1. And so I told you, what if the Jacksonville Jaguars decided to take a wide receiver 2nd overall? First, by the way, since Calvin Johnson got chosen 2nd overall by the Lions back in the day, then they would have used their 2nd round pick on the best corner that they had available in the draft. Still on the board.
Right.
Guess what? They got the best wide receiver and the best corner in one with one draft choice. So why do you need that 2nd round draft choice? I know there's other ways to use that 2nd round draft choice, and I might be giving you some sort of 2020 hindsight reasoning to spin this thing, but you have used your top two draft choices in this draft on one person to fill two different spots. Okay? The 4th round pick that the Jaguars coughed up to the Browns, guess what? They got one back from the Browns in the trade, and it is 22 picks better than the one they sent to Cleveland. They upgraded their 4th round pick. They also got a 6th round pick in this year's draft with Travis Hunter. It's not that much, guys. They gave up a fourth-round pick, but they also got one back that's better than the one they gave to Cleveland. It's all about next year's one.
Right.
That's what it is about. And that's what I would counsel Cleveland Browns fans who are freaking out right now, because they're the ones who passed up on the generational talent. They're the ones who said, yes, this could have ignited our franchise, our fan base, our city, and the sport from our city. And they passed up. They said, no thanks.
They passed up on a generational guy twice.
Two times.
So I understand what you're saying, and I understand Browns fans could be freaking out a little bit. I heard from a few Browns fans during the draft last night texting me, like, I can't believe we did this. You got to sit back. You got to see what they're going to do with the rest of their draft this year. As a matter of fact, they've got the first pick tonight. They could use it on Shedeur Sanders. They also have, thanks to the second round choice from Jacksonville, two of the first four picks tonight. They could also go and get Travion Henderson. They can improve their pass, their rush. They already improved their pass rush and their defense. Mason Graham is an outstanding player to put next to Myles Garrett. Mm-hmm. Browns fans, you got to sit there and see how it all plays out, and that means next year too. You could get your quarterback in next year's draft. I understand that doesn't sound great for you right now, and you probably, as a Browns fan, don't have $40 million a year now to use to rest your head on the pillow like Myles Garrett can in Cleveland with this situation. Got to see how it plays out. But I would have gone clearly for the most generational talent we've seen come out of college in Travis Hunter. And Liam Cohen had this to say about how they're going to use him.
We'll have a plan right now of, primarily on offense with learning the defensive system and practicing on the defensive side of the ball as well throughout this offseason program. And then as we continue to grow, we have to be fluid throughout this whole process. We've had multiple conversations at length with athletic training, equipment, sports science, coaching, equipment, everybody involved about this process and what it's going to look like moving forward. So we have a plan in place, and that's really where we'll start.
Jacksonville Jaguars football become must-see television. It is that simple. He'll start on offense. We'll see what he can do on defense. Guess what? I told you, take the governor off and just go. Just let him go, and you have him tell Liam Cohen, I need a couple. I need a couple plays off. Unbelievable. Congratulations to Jacksonville, yep. Franchise, the city. You got a guy who, by the way, was dancing to Whitney Houston cover songs with the house band last night.
It was great.
We were talking about, boy, he looks really tight. Unbelievable. Now then, before we get to Joel Klatt, Shedeur Sanders and the conundrum for him, with him, however you want to put it. I'm surprised he didn't get drafted last night. I'm not naive. I see with my own two eyes what this kid has done. I see with my own two eyes how good he has been. I do see with my own two eyes how Colorado did not win anything but more regular season games than they had in the previous 20 years before that, pretty much, when he showed up. Travis Hunter had a lot to do with it, obviously prime and what he's building there. He is building something that clearly is getting better, and what he has built is a kid who clearly gets better with each passing year. I don't see him as anything other than a kid who has a chip on his shoulder and, like his dad, does have the flash, but also has a real professional streak in him. I didn't have these meetings with him. I wasn't sitting in some of these meetings with him that a lot of unnamed people who didn't put their names to what they were saying about Shedeur in these meetings were saying about him being disinterested or anything like that. I also see a ton of teams that don't have quarterback needs. I see a ton of teams that also did have quarterback needs, but also like the kids that were there and didn't trade up for him. That may also be part of the evaluation the league has on him, because if he was somebody worthy of trading up for, they would have done it. The Giants did trade up for somebody and traded for somebody else in Jackson Dart. To him, I also say congratulations. We'll get to the Giants later on. Shedeur Sanders, what I would say to him right now is, it was a long night. It was a humbling night. And you could even hear how the young man sounded a little bit more humble than perhaps you are used to seeing him when he spoke to his gathering last night at the crib, as Dion would call it, in Texas, when he had a long night of no phone calls coming in from the National Football League.
We all didn't expect this, of course, but I feel like with God, anything possible, everything possible. I don't feel like this happened, you know, for no reason. All this is, of course, fuel to the fire. And under no circumstance, we all know this shouldn't happen. But we understand we're on the bigger and better things. Tomorrow's the day. We're going to be happy regardless. Legendary. Ooh.
I would just say this. The reigning MVP of the National Football League was a second-round draft choice. Lamar Jackson was almost a second-round draft choice. He has two MVPs, a stack of cash, and a team that drafted him that puts him in a position to win a Super Bowl every single year. Drew Brees, second-round pick. We could go on and on. So, you're not a first-round pick. That was a long night. It is humbling. I understand it. Hopefully, Shador, you get drafted to a team that will utilize this for you. You now have a larger chip on your shoulder today than you woke up with yesterday. There might be something to learn from it. Again, I wasn't in these meetings. These are things that he and his dad together can take stock in. But I'm surprised that people passed on him. And at some point, someone's going to take him tonight. And there will be 31 other teams that will face the wrath. And we will see if he does have the skill set to utilize that, whether it is physical or it is mental. If he has that skill set to use it, ball it up, and throw it at his opponent, similar to what his dad could do back in the day, then this will make him stronger and better. That is the way I am viewing it. Again, the Sanders family is very used to having a spotlight on them, very used to having that spotlight thrown on them, and then having it turned on them by members of the media. I can't believe the number of posts that I'm seeing from grown-ass individuals having fun with the fact that this kid has had a comeuppance or has had some sort of humbling experience. It cannot be good feeling for him or for his dad. This is flesh and blood. This is not just flash. This is flesh and blood. I don't understand it. That's not my lane. That's not my bag. I don't get it. It is definitely something to see somebody have a career like Shador had, than to go undrafted, have people celebrating the fact that he went undrafted, to show the way that he and maybe his father have conducted their business is something that should be thrown back in their faces. I say to Shador, take that, use it, and throw it back in everyone else's. Let's take a break. Here comes Joel Klatt, my buddy from last night and tonight and from Fox Sports. Can't wait to chat about what he thinks about what went down in the first round of the draft. You're watching the Rich Eisen Show from Green Bay, Wisconsin on a Draft Friday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Nordstrom brings you the season's most wanted brands. Skims, Mango, Free People, and Princess Polly. All under $100. From trending sneakers to beauty must-haves, we've curated the styles you'll wear on repeat this spring. Free shipping, free returns, and in-store pickup make it easier than ever. Shop now in stores and at Nordstrom.com.
Chefs. 24 culinary showdowns for 24 hours straight. Which chef will outcook, outpace, outlast the competition?
No chef
escapes the clock.
Season premiere 24 and 24, Last Chef Standing, Sunday, April 27th at 8. See it first on Food Network. Stream next day on Max.
back here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're on the Roku channel and the Roku Sports channel. We're about to have our radio audience rejoin in a second. First of two times, I welcome in from Fox Sports, one of the voices that we listen to every Saturday, certainly on Big Noon on Fox.
My voice has gotten a little better in the last 4 years.
Joel Klatt, everybody.
Hey.
Good to see you. How are you, brother?
Good. I'm good. I'm doing really well. What a night. Last night.
That was great. I was texting with our, and I saw you after last night as well, texting with the group. The moment when the Packers were on the clock.
It was
my favorite part of the night.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, there was some big news going on with Travis Hunter being acquired, and then the Giants trading back in, and then the Falcons trading back in. Remember last year in Detroit too, right?
Yes.
Terrion Arnold comes out.
Yes.
Matthew Golden is there too, and it's awesome, man.
It's become one of those things that I don't think that we anticipate every year, because we have so much buildup about so many different picks and teams and storylines, and I think what gets lost is the moment we can anticipate that moment when the host city.
Yeah.
Picks, and their player walks out. And last night, for it to be a wide receiver, I know we were building it up right before the pick. Man.
We were building it up right before the pick, saying, like, if it's a wide receiver, they haven't taken one since 2002.
Yes.
And then Mark Murphy, when he announces the pick, goes, and for the first time in 23 years.
Exactly right.
And that was, and the crowd went crazy.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
It's been a quarter century. They're like, when are we going to choose a receiver in the first round?
Yeah.
And then it happened in front of them.
And driving in, you know, we have to kind of walk through the crowd a little bit.
Yeah.
And there was some Packer fans, you know, during our walk, and one of them kind of taps me on the shoulder and was like, we better not trade out, you know?
like you have anything to do with it.
I was like, I know.
I'll pass it along.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll run that up the flagpole. I just love it. And so that really was an awesome moment. And Detroit got to experience it last year, and I'm glad that Green Bay got to experience it last night on a Thursday night. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Joel Klatt, who was sitting next to me last night, who will be doing the same tonight from Fox Sports here on the program. Okay, so you're...
Rich, there are so many storylines.
That's right. So that was my first question for you. Which is the one? No. Which was the first one you want to pull on here?
Man, I like a lot of them equally. Let me start with this one, and it might not be the one that you would start with.
Okay.
I think that organizations, you make picks in one of three lanes. Two of them are really good. Mm-hmm. One of them is not. The two good lanes are you provide answers,
mm-hmm.
or you double down on philosophy, you know? The third lane is that you create questions with picks. Certain organizations can't help themselves but create questions. Atlanta did that last year. As much as we can like Michael Penix, you created questions with Kirk Cousins signing in the offseason and then drafting Michael Penix. So you create a narrative out of the draft. I don't think that serves your organization very well. And now Atlanta's having to deal with this. Can we move Kirk Cousins? Can we trade him? Is he going to be a $100 million backup, right? So, mm-hmm. again, creates questions. I think New York last night, the Giants created questions.
Oh, boy, you did not.
As much as you can love, like, hey, we got Abdul Carter and Jackson Dart. Is Jackson Dart your third quarterback? Like, what? You signed two veterans, so are you releasing one of them? Again, you created questions. So there's more that you have to answer now moving forward, even if you like the pick. And I do. I like Jackson Dart. He's a really good player. I liked Michael Penix. But here we are talking about, like, well, what are you doing? And unfortunately for New York, they don't have a great track record that all of us can just say, like, well, I trust them. You know, like, I trust with what they're doing with their plan. You couldn't make Saquon Barkley work. So, like, I don't, like, what are we doing?
Well, this is not your first Friday rodeo on a draft show on the Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah, and the
first one you did in Nashville years ago.
Daniel Jones.
After that pick, you said it was going to essentially set the Giants franchise back years.
And...
yeah, Joel Klatt found his camera.
Found his camera. That's a professional.
Just telling that to the radio audience. He found his camera. Looked straight down the barrel.
I forget that we're also.
That's okay. No. It's all good. Only. So because we want to be fair and balanced, Brian Daboll last night was asked about Dart and when you're going to play him. And this was his answer. Let's play it for you.
In an ideal world, would you like him to just sort of sit and intern this year? I mean, you said you're fine with him sort of learning from them in the city?
Yeah, I'd say all that'll play out. You know, Russ will be our starter, and that's how it'll be once we get started here in the spring. And, you know, look, the process of developing a quarterback is just that. So we're going to do everything we can to develop him and bring him along. And, again, I want to make this about Jackson, his night. Young player, I think he's got a good skill set, and look forward to developing it with him.
Okay, so in that answer, that'll play out. Russ is our starter. Which one? More questions, and then, you know, then he says, "Well, I want to make this about Jackson, but you didn't because you drafted him into a situation where there's more questions." So, listen. I hope it works out. And that's exactly what I said about Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. I sat right here. I really do. I hope it works out. I think that the NFL is better when the Giants are really relevant at the top end of the league. And I hope that they can get back to that. I love the Abdul Carter pick. I think he's disruptive. It fits what their division needs. You got to be rugged to go play the Eagles and their run game and Jalen Hurts and try to topple them as right now the kings of the NFL and maybe the NFC East. So I hope that works out. But that pick, trading back in, again, you either provide answers, like a lot of teams provided answers for young quarterbacks last night. And we talked a little bit about that. Jacksonville did it for Trevor Lawrence. Chicago did it for Caleb Williams. There was a few others. You know, Drake May got some protection. So answers versus questions. So that was kind of top of mind as I walked in here, because when I walk in here every year, I think of the Daniel Jones.
So do we. Plus one or plus three.
Also, yes.
Plus,
correct.
Plus. Joel Klatt here on the Rich Eisen Show. Now let me set you up on Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
Why do you think he fell through the first round last
Well,
night?
I think that when you look at any player, but specifically a quarterback, you've got to weigh, you know, any perceived baggage that they're bringing against their talent level. And here's the hard part for Shedeur. He's not his dad. And yet he brings that same energy to the table. Now, no one defends that family, that school, and that player more than me. Mm-hmm. And I'll be one of the first to admit that. You know, and does that make me biased? Maybe. I don't know. But he's not generational as a player, you know. And trust me, my phone will buzz after this. There's no doubt about that. But he holds the ball a little bit too long. There still needs to be some development. So when a player like that is meeting with teams and there needs to be growth, then what they want to see is a willingness to be taught. And if they don't see that and they see a guy that just thinks that he's ready to be generational and listen, I'm good right now. I don't need coaching. I think that it cools teams off on that. Now, I'm not suggesting that's exactly what happened, but if you believe some of these unnamed sources, maybe that was the tone set in some of these meetings. Shedeur is a really good player. I'm just here to tell you, he's a very good player. Are there times when he drifts? Yes. Does he have the strongest arm in the draft? No. Does he hold the ball too long at times? Yes. But man, the kid is tough as nails. He's hyper accurate. I talk with Kurt Warner about this all the time. Mm-hmm. I actually think, and this is one of those like hot take type of things, I think arm strength is overrated. We've had great quarterbacks, all-time greats, with very average arms. Drew Brees, I mean, he wasn't throwing fastballs around the field. Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl throwing duck hunt ducks in Super Bowl 50. You know, and granted, there was surgeries involved with that, with the neck and everything along those lines, but he certainly wasn't even close to what he was early in his career. So I don't buy into this idea of like, well, his arm is not strong enough. Yeah, it is. Look at where the ball, I'm a big believer in this, is the ball on time and on target? And with him, it usually is. And it's usually in a shoebox in terms of accuracy. I do think he's going to succeed. And then I said this at the end of the night, and I think that the draft has become such a big thing that I've got one more point after this. But the draft has become such a big thing that college players and families view it so much as a finish line. Mm-hmm. And it's just the starting line.
No doubt.
And at the end of the night last night, I said, if you remember, I know it was after we had gone back and we were on the other show. And I said, if I'm Deion Sanders, I'm a father.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, these are humans. This is a father and a son at the end of the day. I'm going to walk into my son's room or wherever he is, and I'm going to hand him a list of names. And that those names are going to be, you know, Brady, Breeze, Foles, Rodgers,
Hurts,
you know, all these guys that have won Super Bowls, gotten to their second and third and fourth contracts, and not just contracts, mega contracts.
Russ
was on that list that I said, exactly right. And I would hand him that list, and I'd be like, that's the list you want to be on. It didn't matter what happened tonight. All of these guys, their name was called in a spot where they didn't want their name to be called. Maybe not location, but certainly in terms of the number next to their draft pick. And yet, they ended up with confetti falling down on them. And a lot of those guys are going to end up with gold jackets. That's the goal. The draft is not the goal, guys. Hey, college players out there, the draft is not the goal. It's a starting line. That's great. And this is all wonderful. But it matters what you do after that. And that would be my communication point. And then the last thing that I would say is I think that college football and our lack of structure in our sport has done a massive disservice to these players.
How so?
Because most of them are more transactional than they are football. There's more so than ever before, we have guys that love being football players and what comes along with that and the transactions that come along with that and the brand they're trying to build rather than guys that just love football. And to be great in the NFL, you better love ball because it's a tough road. And I think college football does a disservice because now all these guys are concerned about are their brands, their name equity, their NIL deal, where they're going to do that. We've got guys that have played. There was a guy drafted in the first round. And I don't want to call him out by name because it sounds like I'm ripping on him, but I'm not. It's just a truth. There was a guy drafted last night that went to six schools in 6.5, 7 years, dating back to his high school and college years. You know, well, you can't do that in the NFL, man. So I think we do a disservice in college football with our lack of structure.
Joel Klatt of Fox Sports and my colleague on draft night and tonight on NFL Network right here on the Rich Eisen Show. You also said last night before you threw it back to the studio that the Browns have a big decision to sleep on.
Yeah.
They're 33rd overall. Could you imagine, Joel Klatt, if they had drafted Travis Hunter last night instead of trading out of that pick? Have the chance to get Shador tonight with the first pick.
Yeah,
tonight.
That would be wild.
It would be just Cleveland fans would be just going, let's go. We can have the Colorado Browns, the Cleveland Buffaloes right here. But they didn't. They obviously trade out of that spot. First of all, they have two picks in the first four. Would you counsel them to take a quarterback with one of those two picks? And if so, who?
They have to answer that position. They have to answer the question.
They got Pickett. Right, I understand, and they did get Flacco back, and he won Comeback Player of the Year in 6 weeks.
I mean, but that's not a long-term answer.
But they also have a first-round pick next year. We were talking about how they and the Rams now have a leg up on that draft capital in the quarterback class of next year that everybody says is better than this year. So I'm setting the whole stage here about what you think the Browns should do.
So next year's quarterback class is deeper,
mm-hmm.
Depending on who comes out. I don't know if we're going to have that like elite level player.
All right.
But it is a deeper quarterback class. This one was very thin. I think we would all attest to, right?
Okay.
I really thought the Browns were going to trade back again off of five, because it's like you started a philosophy of like, hey, let's just build up. We know that we're in a bad position right now with what's going on with Deshaun, and we're going to take a year or two to build ourselves back into a winner. Do you remember when, I know this is a different sport, and I know that it's a different business model, but do you remember when Houston, the Houston Astros, like knew that they were just going to be terrible?
Yeah, sure.
But it was like this, we also know that this is the foundation of something that we think is going to be great.
Oh, sure.
Trash cans aside,
nice.
It turned out to be great, right?
Sure.
I mean,
yes.
I live in Los Angeles, so you got to acknowledge.
Yeah. Dodger fans are still talking about it.
Yeah, of course sure. They are.
Right.
I thought that Cleveland might move back again and stockpile and take that type of approach. But I love Mason Graham. I think that the question for tonight is interesting, because if he doesn't go in those, if they decide like we're going in a different direction, like where does Shador go in the third round?
I don't know. I mean, well,
you know, like what?
You still have Vegas sitting there.
Vegas is sitting there. They probably have a future quarterback question. Pittsburgh maybe said, hey, you know, maybe they know something about Rodgers that we don't. Okay. And that's why they went in their direction at 21. But if they're sitting there at a value spot and they're like, well, even if we get Rodgers, you know, what if we could sit Shador behind Rodgers? And I know Rodgers is maybe not the
he's not Mr. Chips. He's what you're saying. He's not going to be sitting down and say, "Let me tell you everything I know." Although Jordan Love speaks very highly of Rodgers.
So maybe
Shador could continue to drop tonight, and that's something that obviously we'd keep an eye on. I wouldn't, you know, what if the Jets? Right? I mean, it's just a 2-year deal for Justin Fields. They could bring him aboard.
That would be a lot of questions.
No, I know. There's more than one New York team that can draft more people to give questions Giants, sir.
And we saw Arizona move off of a first after 1 year. Remember Rosen, and then went to Kyler. You can move off of a second pretty quick. So now, like the cost of this one is not prohibitive,
right?
You know, so any team that's looking in, they're like, well, you know, let's see how it goes.
So let's say Cleveland does choose a quarterback with one of their first two selections and the first four selections tonight. Do you think it should be Shador?
Oh, there's no question.
No question.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, he's substantially better than anybody else available.
That's still available.
Correct.
Other than him.
Correct.
Who would be somebody that would shock you if they did take him? Everybody keeps talking about how Milrow, DJ called him a lottery ticket, you know, like that you hit on him, you know, it's Mega Millions, that his upside is through the roof.
Yes. I thought that his progress through 2023.
Yes.
I was like, okay, you know, maybe there's something here. Remember, he played really poorly against Texas early. Texas beat them in Tuscaloosa, and Nick Saban benched him for a game against, I think it was South Florida. And he played some of the other guys, and then he came back in. And by the end of the year, leading into that, beat Georgia, who was undefeated, defending national champion in the SEC championship game, and then they ultimately lost that classic Rose Bowl to Michigan.
I was sitting in front of you that day.
Correct. It was one of your. I think that was the greatest day of your life. I don't want to
watching that happen with my wife and my children and my nephew sitting
exactly
next to me.
Right.
Oh yeah, that was yeah.
It was close. Top five.
And you were there with your beautiful family.
I was.
Photographing all of it.
It was bad. I'll say this publicly because, like, you know, you're in the box and it's fun. And I had covered Michigan the entire year and know those guys really well. And so it's happening. And, like, Rich and I are, like, high-fiving. And Portnoy is in the
He was right next to us.
And, like, I give him a high five. And then I look back and there's these people like recording with phones, and I was like,
But you were just celebrating with some Michigan
people. Yeah,
we were
just having fun.
You were not, I can confirm, you were not initiating the high five.
No.
I would literally have high-fived anybody that was around
Let's
me.
Just
no
say,
offense to anyone else, but I was that guy.
Last year, I'm in the same box for Ohio State, Oregon.
Yes.
Except the others in the box was like Neil Everett, Dan Fouts, so all Oregon people.
No.
So we sat there like this and watched the game.
Different vibe, huh?
My kids came to me like the middle of the third quarter, and they were like, hey, should we leave?
By the way.
I was like, yeah, we might need to leave.
If kids are wondering about beating traffic, that's how much of a blowout it was, I'm sure.
It was a blowout. Oh, I can't even remember where I started to answer, what question I was trying
to answer. No, I was talking about Milroe, obviously.
Oh, that's right. Milroe. Let me get back to Milroe.
Sure.
So he had developed into that Rose Bowl game. And this last year, I thought Kalen DeBoer was a good fit for him.
Yeah.
Because Kalen had been with Michael Penix all the way back to Indiana. And Penix initially was a bit of a dual threat, had some of those knee injuries that we talked about last year. Mm-hmm. And then once he got him at Washington, he had developed into just an incredible downfield passer. Incredible downfield. As good of a downfield passer as we've had in the draft in a long time. And I thought that Jalen might reap the benefit of some of that development. But in 1 year, it was just too quick. I would have loved to have seen him have a second year with Kalen, because it's a real projection right now from just the quarterback acumen. As far as the athletic ability, he is, outside of Travis, the guy that you can put on the field that's immediately the best athlete on the field. You know, and so that's why he's a great lottery ticket, because if you see some of the development from a quarterback perspective, then you got something very special that every defense is going to be incredibly afraid of. But it's more of a projection. You know, Shador can start tomorrow in the National Football League. Jalen Milroe cannot.
Your favorite draft choice of last night, before I let you go?
Favorite draft choice?
Yes, sir.
Oh, gosh. Man, it's really tough not to say Jacksonville. It's really tough not to say Jacksonville.
Right? I mean, they went ahead and did it.
Yeah.
They were the ones who got aggressive.
They got aggressive. They got a guy that we know. I'm telling you right now, this kid is a total unicorn. And people are going to be shocked. People thought, there's no way he's going to do this in the, you know, major college football, in the FBS, you know, coming from Jackson State. Not only did he do it, he was dominant. And it won't surprise me at all if he's dominant again in the National Football League. And then my next favorite pick was, of course, the Eagles sticking to philosophy. I talked about those three lanes, right? You either provide answers, you solidify philosophy, or you create questions. And here's Philadelphia solidifying philosophy, and they get Jihad Campbell with a great value pick just because he slid due to injury concerns, which he had surgery on a labrum. That will heal. Philly, if I'm in the East, meanwhile, the Giants draft a third quarterback. What are we?
Joe Klatt, baby.
I mean, am I wrong?
I mean, but before I let you go, how does it work in Jacksonville, do you think? Because you know how Deion made it work.
Here's how it's going to work.
How's it going to work?
They're going to have a plan on paper.
Yes.
And everyone's going to be like, yeah, this is a great plan. Start him out at wide receiver, and we'll dabble with him on the defensive side. They're going to go out for the first practice. Then they're going to walk back in after the first practice, and the defensive coordinator is going to be like, I want him. I want him right now. And then the offensive coordinator is going to be like, absolutely not. I want him. And it's going to be on Liam and the brass there to be like, no, we have a plan, and we're going to stick to it. And he's going to play both ways. So the fortitude that Liam is going to have to – this is the reason – sorry, I know we're probably –
Oh, no, go ahead.
This is the reason why Deion was so important to Travis when he selected – to go to Jackson State out of high school, because the head coach has to have massive amount of courage and fortitude to fight the media saying you can't play him that many snaps, and the defensive coordinator saying I have to have him on Tuesday and Wednesday, and the offensive coordinator saying no, I need him in my room. You've got to have an amazing amount of fortitude and courage as a coach to say no. I know what he can do, and this is what he's going to do. This is why Deion was so key for Travis Hunter. We don't have Travis Hunter without Coach Prime, period. Because every other coach in the country would have folded like a cheap suit to all the pressure from everybody around him, whether it was media or other coaches. So that's what's going to happen in Jacksonville. Immense amount of pressure on Liam Cohen about, well, where is he playing? Whose meeting room is he in? And he's going to get asked that all the time. So I would just suggest, like, you better have a plan. And like, you have some fortitude and courage to you in terms of sticking to that plan.
Joe Klatt, everybody.
McDonald's meets the Minecraft universe with one of six collectibles and your choice of a Big Mac or 10-piece McNuggets with spicy nether flame sauce. Now available with a Minecraft movie meal.
At participating McDonald's for a limited time, a Minecraft movie only in theaters.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile with a message for everyone paying big wireless way too much. Please, for the love of everything good in this world, stop. With Mint, you can get premium wireless for just $15 a month. Of course, if you enjoy overpaying, no judgments, but that's weird. Okay, one judgment. Anyway, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
How has Coach Prime, what has he meant to you, Jimmy?
Coach Prime, you know, my pops been incarcerated in 2021. You know, Coach Prime recruited me back in high school. And, like, he always told my dad, like, they got a chance to talk to each other when he recruited me back in high school. And he told my dad, like, if I was to come to Jackson State, like, he'd always take Kevin Mitch on straight and treat me like I'm one of his own. And, like, ever since then, you know, I didn't go to Jackson State my first 2 years of college. And, like, it's like God had a plan, and I chose to go to Colorado, and everything just been going in the right way. And Coach Prime been the man of his word, you know, and he stood on everything he said. And, like, ever since then, it just been a great relationship between me and Coach Prime, you know. It's like a father and son type of relationship.
Yeah, and is it true, Jimmy, he went with you to visit your dad, who is incarcerated?
Yeah, he did.
He did?
Yeah, I went to see my dad. You know, we had good combos going on, good laughter. You know, it was a good little time. We spent with each other for a little minute. Coach Prime still had other things to do, and he took time out of his schedule to come see my dad. So, you know, that mean a lot too.
And then, if I'm not mistaken, I think we have a photograph of this moment. Senior day, Coach Prime walked with you. This moment right here.
Yeah, that day right there was a little crazy day. My mom, they was actually there at the senior day. It just they couldn't make it there in time because they got stuck in traffic. So I asked Coach Prime to walk out there with me. He was like, you know, I got you, dog. You know, I got you. You know, I'm here. I got you. Come on. So, you know, he had to walk down there with me. You know, that was a good little moment with me and Coach Prime walking down. You know, I appreciate the man for everything he do for me.
What did that mean to you? I'd love to linger on this moment a little longer, if you don't mind, Jimmy. What did that moment mean to you on senior
day? that meant a lot, you know, because I know my dad, he would have loved to be right there to walk down with me, you know, during senior day. You know, that's a lot. That's something that my people always wanted me to do, like accomplish my dreams and be able to finish college and stuff like that. So, and finish my last game, to have somebody walk down there with me meant a lot, man, you know. Meant the real a lot to me, for real.
Who's the best wide receiver on Colorado, Jimmy?
The best wide receiver on Colorado, you know, even though we got great receivers, you know, we got a Heisman candidate. So, man, I'm the best receiver, you know. Okay. It's just the confidence in myself. Like, I know I'm really that on the field, so I'm the best receiver. Like, everybody else, we got great receivers. Like, it's, like every receiver we had could have been a wide receiver one wherever they went, you know, so. We had a great receiver room, but I feel I'm the best receiver.
Do you tell that to Travis? Have you told that to Travis? Have you done that? I'm the best receiver.
No, I ain't never, like, go out my way just going up to people, like, I'm the best receiver. But, like, that's just how I feel, you know. And I got the confidence, and I know my game could back it up, too.
What is the team going to get if they draft Jimmy Horn Jr. out of Colorado?
They going to get a hungry guy, like, that's never satisfied. So I'm always ready to learn. You know, I'm hungry for work. I'm just ready to come out there and play and just learn from the guy that's in front of me that I've been there. You know, so I ain't gonna come in trying to overplay my spot. Like, I know how to play my role, you know, so, like, I'm just willing to do what I gotta do to get out there on the field. And when the opportunity presents itself for me, I'm gonna be ready for it.
Well, tonight be the night we hear Jimmy Horn's name called. That could be sometime tomorrow. We shall see. We're back here in Green Bay, Wisconsin, the day after the first round of the draft in the parking lot next to Lambeau Field. Here on the Rich Eisen Show, one big happy family with our radio audience rejoining our live stream on Roku and the Roku Sports Channel. Hyundai wants to let you know that every Hyundai offers available class-exclusive advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you. So please know that Hyundai has over 130 IIHS Top Safety Award since 2006, and that includes Top Safety Pick and Soft Top Safety Pick and Awards to Hyundai vehicles from 2006 to 2025. Hyundai is always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. I think one of my favorite people of all time is making his way to our studio, and that would be somebody named Desmond Howard. Yep. I do believe I am seeing somebody wearing something sequin.
Yes.
With
yes.
A bit of a hairstyle that does appear to be Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
You mean the biggest star in wrestling right now?
Or entertainment, one would say. There's a top knot over there.
I think I saw a top knot.
It's definitely not me.
That's why I put my hair in a bun today.
So that's how we're rolling into hour two on the show is Desmond Howard and Seth Rollins. Back
Rich, those coordinators that will be fighting over Travis Hunter in Jacksonville, that is defensive coordinator Anthony Campanelli.
Okay.
And offensive coordinator Grant Udinski.
Guess what they're going to do? I can tell you this right now because we have an indication from Prime, who spoke to us on this very matter when I said, you know, what happens if, you know, somebody doesn't play Travis Hunter both ways. Yeah. And we could sit here and talk about a plan. And we could sit here and talk about whose meeting room he's going in. We could talk about, as Joel Klatt said, will be discussed inside the building in Jacksonville after a practice because he's going to be outstanding at both. And there's going to be some sort of a tug of war verbally, I'm assuming not literally, amongst the coordinators. And Dion said, when I said to him, what if somebody doesn't play him on either side of the ball? He's like, let's just say you're a coach and you're down by 7 and your best offensive player is standing next to you. Or you're up by 7, your best defensive player is standing next to you. You're going to look like a fool. And so Liam Cohen at some point is just going to go, wait a minute, we need points? Oh, get Travis out there. Oh, wait a minute, we need to stop him? Get Travis out there. And it's going to be no longer overthought. The kid's just going to play every friggin' snap. Yeah. That's what I think. but, again, everyone, you know, it takes some time to maybe get coached up on the defensive side of the playbook.
A little bit harder on that side.
And just otherwise, it's because, again, you know, if he was a defensive end, it would just be go hunt, see ball, get ball, right? Defensive back, it could be, well, this is the scheme, this is the zone, this is the man, this is the whole business, this is the shell.
Technique.
But at that spot, it's like, you know, see ball, get ball, too, when the ball's in the air. And we will see how this all works out in the long run. I kind of feel like at this point for Cleveland Browns fans, for the lack of a better way of looking at it, all right, Andrew Berry's the one who mentioned Otani's name is a comp, right? The GM there. The comp I'm making right now with the way some Browns fans are feeling, okay, is Luka. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And that's why I'm, because right now, in the same way that Nico Harrison had the unfortunate circumstance of not knowing just how deep the love was for Luka in that town, but Nico Harrison had the unfortunate aspect of what he got back for Luka. He couldn't put into full effect because of injuries, correct? And somebody else who he was going to team with Anthony Davis blew out his knee, and that became unfortunate. Those injuries and the lack of being able to put that plan immediately into place on the field or on the court in terms of wins, that version, the analogy here, is the draft picks that Andrew Berry hasn't turned into human beings yet.
Sure.
So right now, it's just like, you traded for, we didn't get Travis Hunter, by the way. Fans have a deep love for him, even though he did not, he's not been in Cleveland for the amount of time Luka was. Right now, Browns fans are like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Let's see who they choose with two of the first four picks tonight, and let's see who gets chosen next year in 2026 and how everything plays out this year. But for the moment right now, Browns fans are like, I can't believe we passed up on this guy. Because all we're going to talk about is how special he is over and over and over again. And then when the schedule gets released on May 14th, one of the first games we're going to be talking about on that schedule release show is what is going to be the first opponent? Who will it be for Jacksonville? And we've never really led a show with who's playing Jacksonville.
Yeah. Not to mention
the history of the schedule
release. The first 200 game for Ashton Jeanty, the Browns passed on him too.
Hour two coming up.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.